Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're going to have a good show this evening because we got the poets coming on. I'm not even going to tell you who they are, so I'll let them surprise you as we go into Word Sexy Radio.
Baby, I could be your motivation. Your attitude is right, the bill can get you out of my mind, girl.
Mondays, and we got a new number and all that, as you know, 917-889-8206. This is Word Sexy Radio. And what's going on, DV? How you doing this evening?
What's good, man? Sorry about calling in late. I was watching the old David Silver talk about the whole Sterling situation.
But you know something, I don't think he was late, but give us a little update on that real quick before we bring in one of the guests, because I think we have a guest already here. But before we do that, we just want to, you know, kind of get a little update on that. So since you were watching it, can you kind of update us?
Well, one of the reporters basically asked him what was his take on the legal situation going on between the Sterlings, and he basically said it's like this. If it doesn't work out to our satisfaction, then we'll essentially just terminate the franchise. So, you know, that's pretty much in a sum what he's been saying, that the franchise has been sold, but if the judge doesn't agree to it, they go back to the board. And since the board unanimously voted to boot out Sterling, then
right.
Essentially what they do is take proceedings to terminate the franchise.
So what would be, if they end up doing that, what would be a problem if they moved, calling themselves something else, somewhere else, and start up again with a new charter and all that? Do you think the NBA would accept that under the table?
Well, there are already a couple of cities who, you know, who desperately want teams. Seattle wants a team back.
Yeah, like Kansas City is definitely one of
yeah.
them as well. Well, they don't desperately want one, but they want to
right.
try to get a team back. But, yeah.
So there are, yeah. you know, and two cities, you know, two teams in L.A. sharing the same arena. You know, at some point, you know, they may decide, look, you know, if, you know, we can't generate the kind of money we can, but, you know, L.A. is a huge market. The Clippers have only
right.
gotten good recently. You
right,
know, so
absolutely.
I think they take it to another dominant market if worse comes to worse.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that update, and I know a lot of people that might be listening may be interested and maybe not, but if you don't care, then I'm sorry. Fuck it. It's just what it is. I just wanted to get that. Anyway, I know I always – DV, I'm going to try to stop cussing as much as I usually do.
Man, you a grown-ass man. You cuss how you want to.
I know. But look, I got a caller here. I'm going to check in a 513 area code. We're going to check and see if this is one of our guests. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Romeo DiNazzi from Cincinnati, Ohio.
What's going on, Mr. Romeo? How are you this evening?
I'm maintaining. I was called in to support, listen to the show.
You know, and I appreciate that, man, because, I mean, when we were alive before you did it, and it doesn't seem like it's been almost a – has it been like almost 6 months, 8 months, a year since Word Sexy came back?
It's been a minute, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, for real.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it was a full year, but it was almost a full year. So I would say it's been a while. But I'm glad that you're here to support. And I knew that one of our guests, that's special guest, that's going to be here, is going to be a little late. He told me that he was going to be late. And I don't know if Cotton is around where he is or whatever. As y'all, I didn't give it up who it is anyway. Everybody probably knows GPA is going to be on the show this evening. So he's going to be coming in probably in the next hour or so. Well, what you been doing, Romeo? You still doing your poetry?
Yeah, I am. I just came off tour, and I was down in Atlanta for the Black Poetry Cafe Festival. I was one of the performers in that event. That was June 19th to the 22nd. Before that, I was in Rochester, New York for the Erotic Arts Festival in Rochester. I was booked for that performance. And that was my first time on the East Coast, so I kind of parlayed that into a tour down in the DMV. Had a couple shows in Baltimore, D.C., Virginia. So I was gone for maybe 26 days.
I did 21 days
out of those days. So it was a wonderful experience.
I bet it was. And to be able to have the money and the production to be able to take that many days off and chill, I mean, you must got it going on like that.
Well, it wasn't chilling. I was getting it in, but
yeah.
It can be a struggle, but you know, trying to live out your dream and get to where your goals is requires work, it's dedication, and sacrifice. So that's what I'm learning.
There you go, and you're absolutely right in that. Yeah, you are. So, but I wish you well on that, and you know, you can stay on the line if you want to, because you know, later on we're gonna be talking more shit, I'm sure. But like I said, GPA was scheduled to be here. He's going to be here. He probably just won't come in until the second hour, though. But I was hoping that Cotton was here so she can kind of build us up, you know. So maybe she'll call in. I don't know if she's
still touring with him, or I don't know the deal right now as far as that goes. I know they're going to be coming to Kansas City to do Summer Love. They're going to be coming here. I guess it's going to be in, I want to say, sometime in August or something like that, and she'll bring that up when she comes on so that we can talk about that as well. But it's, I'm looking forward to it because I haven't seen – this will be actually my first time actually meeting GPA in person. I've seen and talked to this guy for a couple of years online, and of course, he's been on the show several times. But this will be an opportunity. He's coming to Kansas City, and they're coming to, like, one of these little small hole-in-the-wall clubs that's intimate for poetry, but it's going to be off the chain, you know, and just – and they're coming here, and they're going to do their thing. So maybe if you got a little bit more money left over, you might be able to slide into Kansas City for that. I have to get the date. I think it's – I want to say the first week in August, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's coming up pretty soon. So, but when she comes on, we'll get her to kind of give us some enlightenment on that as well. So, but anybody out there that have any questions or if you want to get on the chat room or anything, you can call in. The number is 917-889-8206. This is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio. And the chat room is open as well if you got questions there. Or DV can mess with you because I know he's in the chat room. You can ask him questions and he can bring them forward. Or as I see it in the chat room, we can bring them to light as well. But that's what we do. And like I said, it's great, you know, just being able to be back on the air after all this time and being off. But yeah, Romeo, we're glad to have you, man. Like I said, you wanna do some poetry later on? You can get on as well, because I know you guys all frequent together and you can make it a big smorgasbord of poetry if you want to. And you guys all in it. Well, I was gonna say something nasty, but anyway, I moved away from it. I was gonna say a menage a trois or something like that, but we didn't want to go there. Anyway, so
you slid it in anyway.
I slid it in anyway. You know me, shit. Anyway, all right. Well, but I'm gonna bring you back in. I'm gonna close you off real quick. But I'm gonna bring you back later on when they come on. And if you want to speak, you know you're welcome to do so. Okay.
All right, no problem.
All right. Okay. So DV, we got some time. Okay. So what's going on with you in the literary world? Are you not writing anymore, or are you just what's up,
actually,
brother?
I started writing again.
Okay.
Basically, you know, I just had some free time. So I was like, you know, let me go ahead and knock this out. And as true to form, you know, there's some things that you love and some things that you hate. So you find yourself doing more editing as you type than actually typing. So, you know, I'm trying to break myself out of that. But
yeah, because I end up doing that too. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but for the most part, I finally just started, you know, putting my fingertips on the keyboard, and, you know, I actually, you know, I kind of like what I see. I was like, man, you know, cause sometimes when you do a good job, you have to sit back and be like, damn, I did this, you know, and pat yourself
right
on the back. So, you know, I'm happy with some of the stuff that I did. There's growth, you know, from the last few things that I've written. So, you know, I'm glad to see that too. But right now I'm just kind of having fun with it. Like, not taking, you know, the worst thing you can do as a writer is put too much pressure on yourself to be perfect. So, you know, I'm staying away
and
from
and you
that
do that a lot, so, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
It's
because,
funny,
you know,
hearing you say that because I know how you are as far as your writing and what you do. You really take it very, very seriously, which all authors should, but sometimes I think, like you said, you got to have to give yourself a break and understand that it's a draft that you're working on. It's not the last,
right.
It's not the final product. You know, sometimes you can get caught up like that, and I understand what you mean when you say that. It's just, you know, you gotta kind of look and just, you know, try to concentrate on getting it on paper first, on the computer, and then
right
worry about getting that other piece.
Yeah,
in there
getting it perfect, right?
Yeah,
because you know me, Red. You know, there's some things that you're real intense about, and
right,
you know, and writing is one of those things because it's something that you enjoy so much that you don't want to walk around and half do it. You know, it's just like, you know, when you love a woman so much, you don't want to be half-assed in a relationship. So it's kind of how I see things in that perspective.
And that's the way you should, because it should be like a romance. You know, what you're doing with your book should be, you should be in love with them that much that you care about them like that. And that's a good analogy that you came up with that. That's good. So And a good segue into the article that you presented last week to me that we didn't really get to talk about. I know we talk about this subject all the time on the show, but I thought it was interesting to see that and that you passed that on to us about what the world really looks at, how they look at urban fiction, and not only urban fiction, but any type of work now that's being published because it's so easy to publish now. There really are a lot of disgruntled mainstream authors out there and people that are upset because you can put a book out in 2 or 3 days now. Without, you know, if you want to, the same day, without editing or whatever, you can just put it out there. And they're getting upset because it's easy now. They had to go through this hard road maybe the way they went in the past and getting accepted, getting deals, and they're really disgruntled. So what is your take on that?
You know, when I sent it to you, you know, it was like synchronicity, and that's what I told you. I said,
right.
You know, these are the things that we talk about. And now somebody with an outside perspective that, you know, I hadn't met or related with basically brought out an article about, you know, the fall of, you know, black literature and the things that they've seen, you know. And it's, it, you know, point for point is the same things that we talk about.
Right.
You know, the overwhelming amount of negativity. And there's nothing to counterbalance it. There's nothing positive coming out. And everything that's negative always has a dark undertone. When I say dark undertone, I mean dark skin. You know, you don't see,
absolutely,
you know, light skin,
right,
or you know, high yellow women on these covers with negative titles, you know. And,
right.
And that's just, you know, it's just another thing that, you know, darker skinned women are dealing with. You know, not only do they catch hell from, you know, from white women and Asian women and Hispanic women, but now they're catching hell from, you know, their own people, you know, black men and even black women, you know, to some degree. So when I sent it to you, it was just like, man, I these are the things that I be saying. And it's, sometimes when you see other people thinking the same thing, it's like you're not the lone voice in the dark. There are other people screaming out that there's some changes that need to be made. And it kind of makes you, you know, justified in saying the things that you say.
Right, it's about quantity with a lot of these people. They want to get them out there. They turned it into, from the drug hustle to a book hustle now. They're getting these authors, anybody, just so they can get these books out. Pay $200 or $300 to cover or make covers, you know, if they learn how to do it. Get this stuff out there quickly, and, you know, it's... And I'm not saying that a lot of this work is not good. Some of it is good. It's just taking time out. You know, you don't really have to edit too much, but you do, but you don't, urban fiction, because there's a lot of slang and a lot of words that, you know, you, what are you editing? And unless you find a person that is a hip hop editor or a editor that does Ubonics,
hip-hop editor.
that's a good one, isn't it? Okay, but and I hate to make it hip hop because it's not really hip hop, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
It's just the fact that they have this thing set up where, you know, you can use that language and not really have to you know, it you know, it's not like you got to edit it, because if it's slang, I mean, unless the editor is someone from that era or that, I mean, that genre of
right,
living, they're not going to know how to edit that.
But
does that make sense?
And I agree with you to, you know, to a point. A well written book is just a well written book, you know. Period. You don't have to be, you know. It kind of like if people say, okay, well, I don't read erotica, you know, that's fine. Then you're telling me that it's not something you're comfortable with. Not that you don't know how to edit it. It's just not something you're comfortable with. I get that. You know, but
right,
it's just like horror. I've never edited a horror book, but I can tell when it's a good horror book. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Like, just, you know, the way that your hair stands up in the back of your neck, the way you look around in the dark, the way, you know, you kind of leave all the lights on leading to your bedroom type deal. So whenever
right,
somebody has done that, you know, that creates for an interesting story. Now, you don't have to be the best editor in the world to be like, damn, this is good. You know,
right,
you just know it. It's just like,
right,
it's, you know, kind of like being a record producer. They may not be the best producers in the world, but when they hear a sound that they know will sell, they all over it, you know, and
right,
they'll, you know, they'll back it, they'll put money into it, they'll do whatever it takes, you know. So I kind of see our literature as, you know, James Baldwin, and I say this all the time, he said it best. You know, he said, I love America so much, which is why I see, you know, the reason to insistently criticize her, you know. But he took that same approach with literature. You know, he constantly critiqued you know, a lot of things that he saw, you know, and even as far as homosexuality, you know, these things that James Baldwin was all over, you know, when he saw it, he said things about it. Nowadays, if you say something, all of a sudden you hate, like you know, like, because I want you to be better, clearly I don't like what you're doing. And I hate
right.
that's the approach that a lot of people have taken, that, like, if you don't like what I'm doing, you know, you must be one of them. You must be acting white or thinking you better than us. You know, say something real ignorant. You know,
right.
and I can't stand that. The bottom line is because I believe that we can do better, you know, I think we should at least put forth a conscious effort to do better.
Absolutely. And I have nothing. I want to go on record letting everybody understand that I have nothing against urban fiction. I think it's a great genre. I think it's needed because, if nothing else, it's bringing people who would otherwise not read nothing. They are now reading something, okay? You know, I just look at it that way because, you know, a lot of times people want to see themselves in the book. I mean, just like when I was growing up, you know, we were reading books that the only way we could see ourselves is we had to be a slave or something like that, or some type of domestic person, you know, in the kitchen or something like that, you know, with the type of books that we had to read in my era coming up, you know. I applaud that they're able to bring the streets to the forefront of, in books where people want to read and see that. But I also don't want them to forget that there's other things that we need to be looking at too. I mean, it's nothing wrong with science fiction. There's nothing wrong with writing other things. Don't have to be always erotica. It could be whatever. I mean, but I understand that, you know, a lot of these people are writing what they know, or maybe a lot of them come from that background, some don't. But the thing is, you know, I think that you want to put out quality stuff, though. Even just because you're bringing something from the street doesn't mean it can't be quality. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I will agree and disagree, and I'm going to tell you why. You ever heard of
okay.
an author called Alexandre Dumas?
Yes.
All right. You know what he's written in, right?
Yeah.
Right. He's written two books.
Yes.
Well, two books that
yes.
we know of very well.
Right.
The Count of Monte Cristo and The Three Musketeers.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
Alexandre Dumas is black, but every
right.
time you hear these stories, and, you know, The Three Musketeers has been done in so many ways and so many different fashions that, you know, you never realize that The Three Musketeers were supposed to be black. But
right.
they basically, you know, you can't really be a superhero in today's culture and be black simply because white people typically don't want that narrative.
Right.
There's this propaganda being put forth that, you know, about who we are as black people, and they constantly reinforce the notion that we're criminals, that we're drug dealers, that, you know, we're oversexed, we're hypersexed, that, you know, and they constantly put this narrative into your head, so much so that you believe it, and this is who you become, that these are
right.
the things that you start to emulate, and essentially these are the things that you write about. Now that you're writing about it, they constantly put forth the narrative that, see, this is who they really are, because this is constantly what they write. This is what they're telling you they are. Look at their music. Look at the things that they write. Even other cultures.
Right.
Like, I was on YouTube the other day, and I'm listening to dudes in Korea, you know, use nigga every other word. You know what I'm saying? They rapping in Korean, but they make sure to say nigga in English.
Right.
So,
well, they say nigga in English? Because they don't have nigga in Korean.
No, but
that word doesn't
is,
exist in Korean. Just
no,
like
no,
rape
does.
Doesn't exist in Korean.
No,
because
it does. No. What I'm saying is, when you look at a lot of the products that they sell, you know, especially
right.
In Korea and Laos and in Vietnam, they use blackface to sell it. You know, remember that article?
Well, that's where all the yakis coming from. All the weave is coming from there, Korea.
Yeah, but my
that's
point
what
is...
It's the market of selling. Yeah, okay. Now, you know, I spent 7 years in Korea now.
Right.
You know, I got that Korean background.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. I remember you telling me you married a Korean woman.
Yes,
my
first wife was Korean. Yep, 11 years. Yep.
Yeah. But they put forth these caricatures of who they think black people really are. The big eyes,
right.
dark skin, big lip, you know, coon. You know, ignorant, the whole deal. So the thing is we help reinforce that myth. You know, and but we get mad, well, most of us. There's some people who just don't care because as long as they're making money, they can give a damn about what other people think. But they constantly put forth this imagery that, yes, we are second-class citizens, and what we do is we go ahead and reinforce that. And we especially do it with our literature. So the thing is,
I hate to say it, but you know, my experience of living in Korea and being over there and seeing it, the only what they see is what they see on the media, and then what they saw as the soldiers being over there. Okay, they had to cater to black soldiers as well as all types of soldiers. They have their perception of what they think whites are. They have their perception of what they think Hispanic is and all of that over there in Korea. And that's what they see. We are the biggest problem because we're showing them that. So, yeah, I'm not trying to take it for the Koreans. I'm just saying that the example that they had of soldiers, black soldiers walking around in the veil over in Korea, they see the loud, big lips and whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they think.
Right.
And that's why the weave became such a big thing, because they saw, yeah, this is a market we can get in. They're already selling clothes and doing that and creating these kind of things. So they wanted to touch the United States not only with their cars, but they wanted to touch some other way, and the weave business is it. They cut hair off over there like it ain't nothing, and we'll sell it, you know, and make synthetic hair or whatever. But you're right. That's the thing that's, you know, biggest with that. And it's funny that you said it because, you know, like I said, they go by what they see, and they thought, you know, just like in Germany, you know, a lot for years they thought that black men had tails in Germany, you know, they actually believe that, you know, you're going to bring your tail out so we can see it, you know, and stuff like that, because they've been told that stuff so many years. You know, and it's probably now that some of them are probably starting to get away from that. But, I mean, it's just the stipulations that we take to them, you know, or Americans take to them. I ain't going to say we, but and how we act in the streets over there. So, you know, it was crazy, but you're right. What you're saying is correct.
You know, we basically, you know, shit on ourselves. You know, we want the world to see us a certain way, and yet we put forth this belief that, you know, that we are less than, you know, we are, well, not so much as less, but we are exactly as white people say we are, you know.
Right.
And there's nothing that irks me more than, you know, us, you know, claiming how racist somebody else is, but then we help reinforce and, perpetuate that myth. So, I mean, like, I honestly believe, you know, that something like written language should be done to the best of one's ability. And I don't care, you know, what genre you choose to write in. But like I said, as black people, we're taught that money is the all important. That as a black man, you ain't shit unless you making millions of dollars for your family. You can't even have, you know, a skilled job. If you catch a black dude as a plumber or HVAC or doing carpentry, suddenly he's less than a man because he works with his hands. You know, like nobody wants that kind of guy. But, you know, people, you know, fawn all over these dudes who make millions of dollars who really don't have those millions of dollars. You know, you got all these rap, you know, you got all these hip-hop artists. Well, they're really rappers. I ain't even going to call them hip-hop artists because, you know, they've gone far beyond what hip-hop used to be. You know, and I don't say that as a positive light. But, you know, you think about all these rappers.
It's not even hip-hop anymore. I don't know what you call it now. But.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, each one of these, all they do is talk. You know, I remember when we was growing up, there was R&B, you know, what they call baby-making music.
Right.
Now, it's just fucking songs. You know, they don't even make baby-making music anymore. But the thing is, they perpetuate this myth that, look how rich I am, look at what I drive. But behind the scenes, they broke. They constantly owe people the stuff that they have is rented. You know, and they actually have no money, but they put forth that myth that in order to be a man, this is what you're supposed to have. So everybody holds on to that myth and that belief.
Have you seen that video? And I know we're getting off a little bit, but have you seen that video where that there's a Korean guy, he sounds just like Joe and he sings?
Uh-huh.
He sings in English, but speaks Korean. But when he sings his music, there's a couple of groups over there. There's some girl groups. There's a lot of them that have been, like I said, have been looking at blacks, because they play that music over there. I mean, because the clubs that we go to in Korea, down in the Ville, you got DJs that are playing the latest music or whatever, just like they was in the United States, and they're Koreans. So they got them singing over there as well. Let me see real quick. We got a couple of numbers I want to check real fast. First, let me go with this 512 number, because it's been here for a minute. Let me state your name, where you calling from.
Hey, what's going on? This is Robert Rose calling from Dallas, Texas.
Hey, how you doing there?
Welcome. I'm all right. How you doing, sir?
All right, we're doing fine. I hope you can hang around. We're gonna get a little bit better here in a minute. We're just waiting on GPA going to be here in about an hour, and then we'll go from there. Yeah, but you got any questions or anything, you know, make sure you get in the chat room, or if you have a question now that you would like for us to speak on, we can talk about it now.
Sure, I'll hang on in the chat room, man. I'm just enjoying listening to y'all.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it. All right. Okay, and then this is 816 number here. I know where you're calling from, but what's going on, 816?
Well, I'm calling from Chicago, and this is Cotton.
Hey, sweetie.
Well, I figured that. But
hey,
you know,
we have to make sure.
And we've been waiting, and Romeo is here. Let me get him back on. He's been here waiting to support you.
Oh, hey.
Romeo, the mic is on.
Where's
DV
at?
DV's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, DV.
Hey,
how
sweetie.
Are you?
Hey, you know what you can do real quick, Cotton? Why? Because you know GPA is coming on, and you know both of y'all are going to be doing some poetry here. So can you kind of talk about Summer Love that's coming up and the dates and all that? Because I kind of spoke on it, but I didn't have the right dates. But can you kind of bring us up to speed on that?
Summer Love is this is Summer Love 2014, Kansas City style. We're going to have some steppers. I tried to get y'all don't know this about Red, but he's a stepper.
I'm going to be there stepping too. Oh, I'm going to be there stepping, yes.
I just didn't want to be
the main attraction.
Yeah, Fishback is going to be the main attraction, him and his
lady friend.
Yes, Carmelita.
Yeah, Steptacular. I used to be part of that group, Steptacular. So,
yes.
It'd be good to see them as well. Okay.
And then GPA and I are coming down along with another poet, Robert Hardaway, a gentleman soul. And then we have some of the Kansas City poets, Charles Malik, OM1. We have LaVita, a comedian, Jake the comic. We have a songstress. My uncle's going to actually sing some old school stuff, so he's going to come through and do his thing. And it's going to be pretty hot. You know, it's gonna be pretty hot. We got Venom, who's coming out of Atlanta.
She's from Kansas City. I know Venom. Yeah. Let me tell you, Venom has actually been on our Word Sexy Radio.
Oh, has she?
Back when, like the second or third year of Word Sexy Radio's existence, she came on. I met her through doing some stuff on the internet and everything, and she was always telling me, "I'm in Kansas City." Blah 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 blah. She was gonna do Word Sexy when we had the Word Sexy poetry thing that we did here. I guess it was when did we do that? 2010 or something like that. Anyway, we did it down at the Cesar Bar on Kansas City, right there across from, it's close to the Sprint Center and all that. So, and she was going to actually come to town for that, but she didn't get a chance to do that. But yeah, so it's good that she's coming to town and she'll be at home. So that's great. Finally get to meet her and GPA in person. So, I know he said he's going to be on a little late. Yeah. DV coming?
No, GG's going to be on the show.
GG. I know GG. And we were talking about Koreans a while ago, but you know what GG means in Korean? It means nasty.
I can see that.
GG. That's GG. Yeah.
That's wrong.
That's what it means. Yeah, but I'm going to tell her that when I see her. I'm going to say when I see her again, because I ain't seen Gigi in a while. Anyway, that's good. I saw the lineup that you had, and I thought it was pretty good of how you got that set up. I'm definitely going to come out. And when is it again? Is it in August?
It's August 9th at the Firelight Lounge in Kansas City, Kansas. So, doors open at 9, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look at the flyer again.
Is that a weekend, the 9th? Is that a weekend?
It's a Saturday.
Okay, cool.
Saturday night. So we want to make sure everybody gets out and get to enjoy themselves. This is Cotton Takes Kansas right here.
And she's coming to KCK. Oh, my old grow-up stomping grounds. Now, I'm going to tell you, that club that she's talking about, we grew up looking at people going to that club. I've been there a couple of times and just kind of just, you know, lots of things that happen right there on 18th Street. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
All the time. My mom used to party over there. So,
oh yeah.
You know, I'm originally from Wyandotte. I grew up in Wyandotte County, so that's
right there. That's where we are.
Very
familiar
territory to me. So,
wow, that's
you know.
Amazing. So, what high school did you go to? Real quick, I'm sorry.
I went to Wyandotte. I went to Wyandotte, and then I went to Schlegel for a little while.
Wow. Damn.
Cheerleader.
I didn't know that about you. I kind of knew that, but I didn't know that because I went to Schlegel.
Yeah.
But when I went to Schlegel only been around a couple of years.
Yeah.
So it was still kind of, when I was there, it was during the time when Roots had just come out, and the school was predominantly white. There were some blacks that went there, but they lived out in that neighborhood. And this is during the time when, and I'm going to do some real quick history here, and then we're going to get off of it. We're going to have you do some poetry. So if you want to get some poetry ready, you can do that. It was during a time where Brown versus Board of Education, you remember this, DB, Brown versus Board of Education back in 1955, right? Well,
right.
What happened was when that verdict came off and it was approved for blacks to go to school, do you know that blacks did not go to school right after that? You know that in white schools.
They could.
It took 20 years of them fighting it till it finally made it to 1977, 78, where they actually started busing us from the north end of town, which is where all the blacks lived, out to these other schools that were white. So it took them that long to get that. But anyway, that's how I ended up going to Schlegel, which was a school that was one of those schools. Now if you go there, it's like the new black school, and whites are like, you know, because it's changed up so much because they've now moved out of the neighborhood, you know, because all the blacks start coming there, it was like, let's get out of here, let's move further out west. And, you know, it's just a shift, you know, like it always happens in the city.
White
now, the north end of Kansas City is nothing is down there in Kansas City, Kansas. Now, there's nothing. All that stuff has been destroyed, and they have just raped, pillaged, and burned the area. And basically, there's nothing left in memories where we went to school. My elementary school I went to is gone. My junior high school I went to is gone, which they call middle school now. My high school, which is Sumner High School, which is still there, but they made it to what they call like a magnet school. So, I mean, they took everything from us. Everything that we had down in that neighborhood has basically been dissolved due to the fact that they didn't like us winning all the trophies and getting all the awards and everything. And, you know, they even destroyed all that stuff as well. But I'm going to get off that, and we're going to get Cotton here if she's ready. I know she wasn't expecting. Did you know he was a guest tonight as well?
No.
Yes, you are.
He likes surprise.
Yes, you are.
Surprise.
You are a guest along with Mr. GPA, who's going to be on at 9. I'm going to have you do some of your great poetry from your new book. And when you're ready, we'll get there. But do I need to play a song so that you get yourself prepared and then come back after the song? Or...
But you can play a song though, because I like some of the stuff that you play. So let's hear some music.
Yes. So what would you like? Something? I know you don't. We don't want to hear "Good Kisser." What do you need? You need something sexual? Or what do you need? What are you going to do?
What's "Good Kisser"? Well, I have this poem, and I think you heard it before, but DB didn't because he wasn't on that night, and I want to do
so
this
are
poem
you,
so he can.
So
hear
you're going to sing? You're going to sing for us?
Ooh.
Is that what I'm hearing? You're going to sing for us tonight?
Yes.
John Trapper.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play "Good Kisser" or something to get you motivated. I don't know what I can play. Because I was going to play this one song that GPA likes. It's called "Somebody Else" by Robert Clasper. But he's not here yet, so I could wait until he gets ready to come on and then make him wait after the song so he can hear it.
Yeah, he gets no benefit.
Because I know you're ready. I know you probably, You say what now, Stevie?
So he ain't get no benefits. He ain't here. He get here. He ain't no
so, Cotton, since you're here right now, what do you want us to do? We can do what you want right quick. We can hear your lovely poetry because I know the listeners are waiting for that.
You can play a song and then I'm going to come right in after that and give you what I got.
Well, I don't know if I want something fast or do I want a piece of jazz or something to get you in the mood.
Oh, jazz or anything sensual, sexy always gets me in the mood, no matter what I'm going to do.
Well, hopefully people won't get sleepy on this one. It's a little 4-minute song, but it's Espresso Del Lago, Falling Man. I'm going to play that real quick and see if they get into that.
Oh,
this
like
is Word Sexy Radio, and we're bringing it to you like we always do. And we're going to have Cotton after this jam, and she's going to do her thing. So sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sexy Radio. I like that. That's a promo, baby. Girl, to get everybody hot here on this show here with, because I know she got something. Even if it ain't sensuous, it's probably gonna be hot anyway, because that's what she does. So yeah. So Miss Cotton, are you ready to get us in such a way?
I'm ready. Hi, can you hear me?
Oh. Say yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead, softly spoken. She's laughing at that shit. Hey, it's what it is, right? It is what it is, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I often told myself that we could be more than just friends. I know you see think that if we move too soon, it would all end. I live in misery when you're not around, and I won't be satisfied till we take another vow. There'll be some love making, heart breaking, soul shaking love. Love making, heart breaking, soul shaking. What's it gonna be? 'Cause I can't pretend, no. Don't you wanna be more than friends? Hold me tight and don't let go. Don't let go. Have the right to lose control. Don't let go. I need his addiction, his fight for my love, that crazed look he gets when someone is too close to me. I need his obsession, his love blessings, because that's what it is. I need him peeking through my window just to see who I'm with, that stalkerish kind of shit. I need his addiction. I need him to be addicted to my mango scent, loving me endlessly, exclusively. This could be deadly, fatal, one that I could live with and tell about, because he won't hurt me. I need his, can't take his hands off me, kissing and touching no matter who he sees publicly, because it's all about us. And he knows that I like PDA. I want his jealousy. I want his jealous ways that rage from time to time. I am his drug, one that makes love, so he can feel me inside, transferring emotions from his body to mine, giving my warm body parts the love I need. It's that, it's what he desires. He's addicted to me because I'm what he needs. He can feel me. And he can't live without me, and that's what I seek. He checks my cell phone to make sure that I get home on time, stops by in the middle of the night just to see what I got on, making sure I'm home alone. See his addictions, his flirt with me, role play, see it spices up our lives. I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm in love and he's on my mind all the time. I want to know what love is, and I want him to show me. No drugs in our veins, just the flow of our love driving us insane, only harmful to those who try to get in our way. Addictions is the continued repetition of behavior despite adverse consequence or neurological sense. Impairment leading to a certain behavior. Addiction has long been understood to mean an uncontrollable habit. I am addicted to him, so it's only right that he's addicted to me. Softly spoken.
Wow. There you go. You know what I like? I like how you got softly spoken at the end of yours, and how a lot of, you know, rappers, they put their little, I guess it's a signature that you're putting on the end of that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So tell me, how did you, what brought you to that, with this point?
You know what, there are a lot of women, and there are a lot of men, who, although you want your space, you still want to know the person that you want to be with is, it's kind of almost addicted to you, because if he is, it's no different than a drug. You're going to keep coming for it all the time. You're going to want it all the time. And so I kind of wanted to, I was like, you know what, I think I need some of this right here in my life. So I wrote it.
I know that sounds kind of crazy. No, but you know, the part I was interested in was when you said about him checking your cell phone and stuff. You know, I know people used to get upset about that, but, you know, I think it's kind of cute. If you know you're only doing them and you're serious about them, like you said, that addicted love, if they do check. But, you know, I mean, unless you got something to hide, that's the only reason why I would be wrong, right?
Yeah, right. That's how I feel. Like, if you got something to hide, that's the only reason why you would be upset. Like, I don't care if you look at my phone. Look, if I'm with you, I don't have anything to hide. You're more than welcome to... Because I want you to be comfortable. I want you to be comfortable
right.
in knowing that there's some trust there. Because if I'm trying to hide things from you now, I don't trust you. And
right.
people most often keep a lot of stuff in their cell phones. They don't want nobody else to see.
Interesting. But you're right. That's the reason why I said that, because I know what you mean. I know where you're coming from with that. It's just amazing.
I posted on Facebook one day, and I was so surprised that more, I had so many women that posted, he better not look at my phone. I was like, whoa, where y'all coming from?
Did I chime in on that?
It's what they've been, yeah, you can chime in. But let me say this real quick, and then I'm going to let you go, because I know you got a lot to say on that. So, but what I was going to say was, like you said, unless there's something to hide, I mean, they've been told so many years that the man ain't supposed to do all this, I got to keep it locked and all this, and he got his locked and whatever. Go ahead, DV, I know you got one of them.
No, like I think, didn't I chime in on that one, Cotton, that conversation?
Yes,
you
did.
Before.
Yeah. You did, online.
Yeah.
Online.
Okay. Right. So, like, because I was like, this sounds familiar. But, you know, I say the same thing now that I said then. You know, me personally, I don't give a shit. You know, if I'm supposed to be grown, and you're supposed to be grown, don't get me wrong. I understand some people need their privacy. I really do. And I get that. You know, but if you already, I mean, with somebody you dating, I think there's a problem. You know, that they have trust issues. But somebody that you're in a committed relationship with and you're like, no, you can't see my phone, all right, then, you know, to me, that there's a typically warning sign. Not because,
right.
You know, no, don't get me wrong. Like I said, me, I'm a private person, and I understand that. But when it comes to a relationship, you know, you have to get rid of the me and start thinking we. And if she does not trust you, then, you know, something's got to change.
Exactly.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. If you're in a relationship with someone and you both are committed, then I don't see the issue there unless you are hiding something. But if you're just dating and you just met this person and you're just, you haven't both said that you are going to be together in as a couple and become, you know,
right,
then you shouldn't be looking at their phones. You shouldn't be. If you're not exclusive, then why are you looking at the phone?
But I
you
think
know,
that,
you,
I think when the person gets upset that you look at the phone or they have an issue with it, then that tells, even though they said they want to only be with you, that's a warning sign that, no, you really, he ain't only with you or she ain't only with you because she got something in that phone she don't want you to see or he don't want you to see. And they still dabbling elsewhere, you know.
You know, I kind of think that, y'all, this is something y'all need to talk about because there may be a genuine reason why they don't want you to see something.
Okay.
But, you know, other than that, you know, it's to me, something as simple as a phone is just not that serious. If I got to hide, what's the point of being in a relationship if you got to hide everything? I mean, that defeats the entire purpose.
I do not like secrets in a relationship. I don't think that you should have that many secrets in a relationship.
Especially if you married, okay? You know, that's a whole different story, okay? If you're married to somebody, why are you hiding stuff?
Right.
You know, I just, you know, we can, that's a whole other show. But the thing is, if you're just dating,
that's different.
And you're not not committed to each other, then I can see the reason for not really showing your phone, or if there's something you may have on there that you don't want them to see, and it's not necessarily another relationship or another person. It could be just some private pictures or something. Naked, sounds like somebody said naked pictures or whatever, you know, whatever it is. You don't want them to see it yet, then okay, that's fine. But later,
it could just be a matter of them not ready to share that part of their life with you.
Right.
Exactly.
That's what I was about
now,
to
when you, like I said, but when you call yourself saying, okay, we are together, I'm your man, you my woman, and we're exclusive together, then what's the hiding?
Right. Yeah, that was when I put that on my Facebook page, I was like, some women came out of the woodwork.
Oh,
I was like, dang.
They was
mad at me. I was I'm just saying.
Like,
They
came after me. Like, who the hell you think you are saying that if you know, you're not in love if I don't, like, that is my stance. That is my belief. You can't, you know, part of you being in a relationship means being open. And, you know, I don't care who you talk to, you cannot say somebody that you love, you cannot say to somebody that you love them if you don't trust them.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
To me, that's backwards. How can you be like, well, I love you, but I don't trust you? Well, you know, they kind of, you know, one needs the other. You need to trust somebody before you can say that you love them.
Yep.
Right.
There's
it's kind of prerequisite.
Right. Now, yeah. DB, that wasn't the poem that you missed the last time. The poem, I didn't do that poem. I did a different poem. The poem. The poem was more. Yeah, that one was a little different. But the poem that I want you to hear, we'll see if we if Red let me do another one. We'll see.
You're going to do some more. You got plenty of time. If he don't show up, then it's going to be you because he's supposed to be here, and he's got 4 minutes.
Oh,
if his ass ain't here in 4 minutes, then, you know. But he'll be here because he
usually
calls.
If he calls, you're going to answer the phone. You're like, yeah, baby, I'm here.
I'm lying. I ain't going to say,
like,
yes, baby.
You.
Oh, you talking about,
yeah,
you talking
to be like, I missed you.
You ain't
GP.
Talking to me. No, I'm going to bring him in because he let me know that he was going to be late. So, I mean,
as soon as he calls in, your drawers going to get all soggy. You be like, I missed you. You know that's what it's going to be.
Who are you talking to? Not me. I know you ain't talking to me. How the hell my shit going to get soggy? Y'all fucking with Red this evening? No. My shit don't get soggy.
Uh-oh.
It ain't going to get like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but...
some storytelling tonight, so...
Yeah, that's what he said. He told me this morning that he was going to be on at 9 o'clock, so... that's cool. You know, I mean, he wanted to be on the show. He'll be here.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting.
I think you'll like this next poem, DB. I think Red, I don't know if Red remembered me doing it the last time. But
How can I forget what you've done? I mean, you had them bitches tripping. I mean, the women tripping on the show. I'm sorry, I call them bitches. Anyway, you had the ladies from the diaries, the motherhood diaries, tripping that night when you did that.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to suck your titties. They was all on you.
Where are these analogies coming from?
I know. I'm just telling you. I mean, it's street analogy. We was talking earlier about urban fiction, so I'm using some of that shit. But that's what they do. When they suck on dudes' balls, and they suck on women's titties when they own them like that. That's the terminology.
Wow.
They want to suck your titties. You never heard that before? That's what's out there. Yeah, that's the shit. They want to be on you. They was like, when you gonna put that out? And you said, that's in your book. You need to buy the damn book. They was like, they wanted you to send them the poem and shit so they can use it on their website and all kinds of stuff. That's copyrighted work. You can't just do that. So, but, they was on you.
Yeah.
So do you want to do that now or you want to wait a little bit?
I can do it now.
Okay. Well, I see Mr. Robert. I'm going to get Robert Rooks putting out soggy draws and shit. What the fuck? I'm gonna get his ass. He's in the chat room. I said your name on the radio. Making it moist. You what? Y'all ain't shit. But anyway, go ahead if you want to, we're gonna do that. And Romeo dropped off. I guess he didn't like the singing or whatever. I don't know. A couple of people dropped off. I ain't gonna say that. I'm just fucking with you.
They like my song.
I don't know. I thought it sounded good, but they dropped off. A lot of them dropped off.
They didn't like my song. You know, I don't care.
Well, we got Mel in the chat room now. So, Mel, is you going to call in or what? Or are you going to just stay in the chat room?
Y'all see my name.
Okay, well, all right, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to let you do another one real quick. I see, hold on. Let me see who this is real quick. This might be Romeo or someone calling back. 513 Erie Coast. State your name. Where you calling from?
Romeo D. Nasty.
Okay, brother. We're glad to have you back because you was being requested. And you were gone.
Can you give me a couple minutes, please?
Sure. You mean put you on mute? Okay, we're going to give him a couple minutes, and then I'll put him back on. I got him on mute for a second, but I'm going to put him back. So, Romeo is back, Cotton, and GPA is not. So, here we go. All right, so I got Romeo. Are you okay now?
Hello?
Okay, you can go ahead. He's still cut off? No, you. He's on. I got his mic on, but he said he had to do something. Okay. So, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I had a little trouble with my my cell phone. I was trying to get in a better area. Okay.
Well, you know, I'm gonna tell you what I thought. I thought you. I'm Cotton gonna get me mad at me, but don't take this personal. She probably thought she thought she didn't like her singing or something, but you dropped off right when she started getting into it.
Yeah, man.
So I was like, what the hell?
Nah. Cell phone trouble.
Like, what?
Yeah, girl, you say, what the fuck? But anyway, she was doing En Vogue and everything. Shit, she was rolling.
Hey, you know, I was giving it.
Yeah, she was throwing down. But anyway, okay, so she's gonna do another poem. Did you didn't get to hear the last one because you was moving around. So here we are, Cotton. It's on you.
Alrighty. I asked him, "Are you seeing someone else?" Wait. Before you reply, don't lie because I can see right through all that Maybelline. Your lips are covered in her plum lipstick. Her foundation, cocoa brown, is smudged into your collar, and it's not my color because I don't wear that cake on my face. My womanly senses have picked up on your GPS sense, dialed into your radar, the tracking device not installed onto your car, but pressed on your heart, which tells me where you are emotionally. These findings aren't to put you down, attack your character, or make you look bad, but for you to recognize that the woman that stands right here before you is smarter than the average. Look, I love you, but I deserve some honesty. So don't get mad. Don't take it personally. This is grown-up conversation. You're a man. You can handle it. Besides, it's mentally stimulated. And if you want it, you'll listen. No disrespect intended. So when I say we need to talk, don't climb up because that tells me you're guilty and you've done something wrong and you believe I know your secret truth. You decided to take away my choice, but listen to my soft-spoken voice when I say, you won't have your cake, eat it, emotionally abuse it, so blow out your candles and be thankful you have a woman like me. Your wish should be that I don't get angry because I hate being relationship confused, as some of you men like to do, then sing the blues when we react in a way that you can't handle. As a woman, I have the capability to fill your heart's desires. I can cook, clean, make love, have sex as often as you need, only if you wife me. I know you wanted the milk for free, but that's not an option with me. The woman you choose shouldn't be giving you the blues, not trying to fill your shoes, but you have to tell the truth. Just be honest. This isn't about us as a unit. This is about respecting one another, but you don't believe that I have the right to choose. Nor do you understand that I would leave before I cheat on you. You won't be able to say I tainted you. The next woman won't be misled or emotionally used by you because of my actions. Look, all I'm asking is for you to be honest, and we can both walk away from this with some honor, not feeling like we got screwed, abused, or used, but we are just two people that weren't meant to be. So before you fix your mouth to tell a lie, know that I've already investigated, and those 2 a.m. calls ain't your mama. I've researched, checked your cell, and I got the woman who left her face behind on speed dial. But I'm giving you this time to be the man that I believe you are. Just be honest. Come clean and walk away with some dignity from and some respect from me. Now let me ask this again. Are you sleeping with my friend? Softly spoken.
Right here on Word Sexy Radio. Yes, right here on Word Sexy Radio. We have you've been caught. Clapping and snapping fingers. Do they still do that shit? Do they clap and snap fingers, or is that
they do it all? They do it all. They do it all.
They do all that because I didn't know that was old school or whatever. But
no, they
you know, I always thought that was
tight.
You know,
in Detroit, they snap in Detroit for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So what you think, BB? Did he get cold busted or what?
I'm gonna tell you, like I told Red. Baby, I'm sorry. Forgive me. She meant nothing to me. All right? I'm sorry. I'm gonna
say something that DV always say. I can't help my dick got hard. DV said that shit. I ain't never forgot that when he said that. What was that, 3 years ago? You can't control your dick getting hard. what do you do? You gotta. It's hard now. I gotta do something. You know. It's anyway, that was off the chain. So Romeo, is he still here? Yeah. Romeo, what you think about that? Because I know you're a poet. We want to get a male's perspective of that.
Yeah, she was really on point, telling how she felt. She got a nice aggressive way about it, but it was still in a sweet, I guess, soft-spoken way. So, but yeah, she was speaking her mind.
Yeah,
I
didn't want to be the nigga. How about that? Or the dude? I ain't gonna say nigga, but well, I did say it. I didn't want to be the guilty party. I'll say it that way. Because so many men have fell into that category and never had it brought to them that way. It's always been brought other ways, tripping, cussing, fuck up your car, do some shit. But just to come straight out, I know, you nigga, you cold busted, I got you. All I want you to do is have some dignity about it. You've been caught.
Right.
Your shit's weak. Just go ahead and just admit that you fucked her. And then it's my friend, of all people. The bitch that's supposed to be my friend, you fucked her. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about it.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question to Cotton.
Mm-hmm.
In your eyes, who would be more wrong?
What do you mean?
Who would be more guilty, the guy or the girl?
You mean the best friend or the man?
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right,
You know what? I hate to say that there's equal responsibility there. I can't. There's not one more wrong than the other because they're both at fault, and neither one of them said let's don't do this.
Right, because they both know you, and they both were close to you. They both were talking to you. They both knew what you were doing. She was telling him, okay, she gonna be over here. Let's fuck. Or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
I mean, you know, all that shit was going on.
That's in every situation then? Because, that's always going to be the case then, that it's going to be two people.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to, they're that close. Yeah, especially if they're that close, they know your every step. If that's her best friend, she's telling her shit.
Right.
Unless he knows that she's fucking her husband, her man.
Okay.
He's finding out shit from her. He's telling her. So does she know what to do? I mean, it's double jeopardy, basically, double bullshit. They both fucking her over.
Because that could go either way. She'll either be mad at the friend and stay with the man, or she'll be mad at the man and continue her relationship with the friend, or she'll get rid of both of them.
Yeah, it could go. I mean, it depends on how long they were doing it and everything, too. You know, there's a lot of circumstances that fall into it. You know, how long were they doing it? When did it start? How did it start? Where were they when they started it? You know, a lot of that shit plays in there.
And to be honest, none of that really matters. It's the fact that y'all slept together. That's really the bottom line. At the end of the day, how long you were doing it really ain't a factor because you still suck your penis inside my friend's.
Right.
You know, you put your lips on him, and no, we're not doing that.
So what's worse, a friend or a cousin or a sister?
A sister.
Ew. No, I'm saying, like, is your sister, and she fucking your man? Or is she your cousin?
My co-star.
You got to think the dude nasty as hell, too. I mean, really?
Why would
man?
The dude be nasty? He just getting some pussy. He wrong,
but
he just getting pussy.
Sister,
he ain't kin to them. He's not kin to them. You can't look at it like that, DV. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that why would he look at it as it being, unless it's the mama? That's even worse. What if it's your mother?
Oh, your mama nasty. There's no rhyme or reason for that one. It's just kind of like...
There's no rhyme or reason for the friend either. It's just wrong, period. All the trust that you had for both of them, and they do that to you.
But, like, that's just nasty. Just the thought of that, man. Like, being in the woman that just had your woman, I mean, that had your woman, you know, X amount of years ago, that turns my stomach.
But it, I always say that when I do this song, I always say that if you listen, if any man is listening, like if he's truly listening to the poem, it's not a male bashing poem. It's not it's not that you. If you really listen as a male, I've given you key points to keeping this woman under control, number one, and to either and maybe even keeping the relationship, number two.
Yeah. By being honest.
If you, by just being honest, by having that grown-up man conversation when a woman says, baby, I caught you, instead of you making excuses, you try to rectify the situation by saying, okay, let me tell you what happened. Because that's what she want to know. She wants you to sit down and look her in the face and be honest and tell her the truth. Whether y'all stay together or not, it's going to be up to the two of you. But I just gave you some key points on how to make that relationship not so you don't get your tire slashed kind of thing. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, because when you lie, because what happens, what makes a person do all that is not that you did. It's that you lied about all the shit.
Right.
That you kept them in the dark and didn't let them make an informed decision. Just like, okay, say I'm a married man and I'm fucking around with this woman. She finds out I'm married. She wants to slash my tires. It's not because I fucked her. It's because I didn't give her a chance to make a decision. Because if I would have told her I was married and everything, she might would have took a little longer to do it. But if she really wanted to, she was going to do it. And then it wouldn't be this shit about you didn't tell me, you didn't give me a chance to make a decision. That's what really does it. Now, I'm not saying it's right because I don't agree because I wouldn't want nobody to do my wife or whatever. So, but my thing is this. You know, that's what really gets people is when you don't be honest about it. That poem was giving the guy a chance to really say, come clean and say, okay, I did it. You know, plus you didn't already gave him all the stuff to let him know that you do know. So it,
man, what
it,
you
it,
talking
it,
about? Men, the most, like, there's a lot
there
of
was some key points.
Dying breath. All right, hey, like I ain't said shit.
I know. Yeah, take it to the grave. I know. I know about that. But, you know, it's just one of those things. But we got a caller. Let me see if this caller has something to say. 404 area code. State your name and where are you calling from? 404 area code.
Oh, this is Ali. Actually came in last
week.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, I'm
hey,
good.
How you doing?
Good. I actually don't have anything because I literally just made it in here. So
yeah, I know. I saw that in the chat room. What are they talking about?
Right.
Let me bring you up to speed because I want to get your another woman in this real quick.
All right.
Of course,
what happened
was
Cotton just did a poem about catching her man in the wrong, and the way she came at him was in such a manner that the only way that he really should come out of this if he was smart was to just go ahead and admit his guilt. But, of course, DV is saying that man ain't going to never, and most men won't. They'll take that shit to the grave and say, he could be standing there fucking the woman. The woman is stupid enough, and he's got his dick in the other woman to think that, okay, I'm not doing that. What you talking about? I ain't with nobody.
Yeah,
and she's stupid enough to believe
that.
You know what I'm saying? But the thing is the way she did it, we thought it was clever, and I just wanted to see if you can comment on that. Do you think that's the right way to do that, in your opinion?
About doing the poem instead of kind of just confronting him on it?
No. She didn't do the poem with confronting. The poem was about confronting.
Gotcha.
So the confronting part would be if you found out your mate was doing something with someone else, your best friend or whatever, whoever the culprit is, would you go off on him? Or would you talk to him? And you got all the proof that you can prove that he actually did do these things.
Mm-hmm.
I just like her approach and how she did it in the poem. So I just wanted to see, what is your method? What do you think should be?
Good question. My method, well, I have had that happen to me before, and I confronted him on it. I mean, I mean, he wasn't the brightest brain on the box to begin with, so it wasn't really that hard to, do. Yeah, I just confronted him.
Was it a friend? Was it a close friend of yours that was involved?
No, it wasn't anybody that I knew, actually. I've not had that situation happen where somebody that I was close enough to was messing around with somebody that I was in a relationship with. That has not happened.
Okay, because I was going to ask, the next question was going to be, which one was you going to go with, the friend or the guy? Because that came up as well. But go ahead.
They're both cut off. because if someone was actually your friend, first of all, there's no reason for you to do that. All of these people out here that aren't in relationships and don't have anybody, like, we're supposed to be cool, but you feel the need to sleep with the person that I'm with. Like, that, no, that's not okay. That's not okay at all. That might be cute where you come from, but no, that's not going to happen. That's not
No, that shit ain't cute. Fuck that. Shit ain't cute.
So when I say in the poem that my womanly senses have picked up on your GPS scent, dialed into your radar, the tracking device not installed on your car but on your heart, which means that women, and men know this, we are emotional creatures. So the minute you get seriously involved with a man, or if we get close enough to him, we've already picked up on certain emotional behavior, and we now connect to you that way. So lying is really not an option, because now we feel like you're playing on our intelligence, and that you think that we're that stupid, that we don't know that there's even if now, and I'm not saying it's always him cheating, but what I'm saying is that she knows when something's not right.
Oh, absolutely.
And the minute you lie, you now have told her that you don't respect her as a woman.
See, that I don't. I agree with that to a certain extent, but then on the other hand, I don't. And the reason I say that is because of this. People always act like, yes, women are the more emotional creatures. That is absolutely true. But on the same token, guys can be very, I won't say emotional, but they can be very sensitive to certain things. And I wanted to.
Go ahead and say emotional, because men can be. Men can be emotional. You can use that.
Okay, so I'll go with that. But at the same time, if you talk to a man, or if you have a lot of male friends, whatever the case is, and, you know, strictly on some platonic conversation, a lot of times if a guy is cheating on you, it may have absolutely nothing to do with you whatsoever. So when he lies to you, it's not necessarily, and I'm not saying it's acceptable either way, because it's not. But when he lies to you, it doesn't mean necessarily that he disrespects you. There could be, in his sick little twisted way of how he's decided to rationalize this or whatever the case is, lied to you because he knows, A, that we are emotional and knows that you are emotional and does not want to have you find out about something. And at the end of the day, probably does care about you, but knows, you know what, I've done something stupid.
But you know, you are absolutely correct, because I'm a man.
He doesn't want you to find out because he knows he's wrong. Therefore, when you lie to a woman, you let her know, because you'll tell her everything under the sun. When you lie to a woman, you just now told her that you don't respect her as your woman, because you will discuss every other aspect of your life. So why didn't you have the decency to be honest enough with me? And then on top of that, you decided that you want to take away my choice to choose whether or not I want to be in this kind of relationship with you, because you just went out and slept with somebody else. That is not respect. That is selfish behavior.
Okay, well, let me bring the male perspective in real quick. Let me say, because I've been in them situations in the past in my growing up and learning. You know, a lot of times, men, as you know, men cheat for different reasons than women do. Most of the time when women do something, there's a motive behind it, or they've been hurt, or there's something, a reason that they do it. Now, there are some hoes out there. Every now and then you get them, they just want to fuck. But most of the time, a man could be in love with his wife, love her to death. But sometimes he'll just do some shit, and he don't even know why he's fucking the bitch. He's fucking her. Oh, it's some pussy. My dick got hard. I couldn't stop it from getting hard. Whatever his stupid excuse is going to be. The thing is they'll do it. Doesn't mean they don't care about the woman. But I get what Cotton is saying as well about lying about it. Makes it seem as if he's not respecting her because he's lying about it. I get that part. But the thing is men will cheat, and it don't have to be no reason, don't have to be nothing wrong at home or nothing. They just do the shit sometimes. It might be a pat on the back thing with guys, or it might be just they want to see if they still got it, or whatever the reason. It's different than with women. Women do it. Most of the time when women do it, there's a reason. There's an emotional feeling behind it. And I think we got GPA getting ready to come on here in a second. But I just wanted to get that in the air real quick. I don't know if the other men agree or not, then you can chime in on that. And I'm bringing GPA on right now, too. So, anybody want to say anything on that before I introduce the greatest poet alive?
I'll say something real quick. Look,
go ahead.
I mean, I can't say that there's really no motive behind it as far as men, because there is motive. You know, new pussy, you know, that's kind of the motive. And,
yeah, but
and,
it's not the same motive as a woman's motive. You understand
yeah,
what I'm
I mean,
saying?
But let's
motive
be honest. I mean,
it is new.
Like,
new pussy,
motive,
I mean.
Right. Cause
how many women go out there and
like,
say, new dick, you know, and
but,
I'm just going to try this because it's new.
No,
that's
women,
what I just said.
So what they say, like, from the time women get their period, dudes throw dick every day, or at least they try. You know what I'm saying? For a man to get, you know, pussy tossed his way is rare. So there's a lot of men who just don't know how to say no. They don't know how to turn it down. You know, it's like, wow, this shit never happens to me, so I think I'll take advantage of it. And that's kind of the way it is. There's no, you know, they don't feel anything simply because if women threw pussy at us all the time, at some point you're going to get tired of saying yes. You know, and, but it doesn't happen.
Or you'll get a respect
so,
for the woman you're with at that time that you'll be like, you know, I don't want to fuck this shit up because I really love the woman I'm with.
Right.
I don't give a fuck how fine this bitch is.
But
I ain't going to fuck her.
No, the thing is,
you
got to
get to a certain age.
No,
that's what I just said.
Age, it just comes with maturity. Because there are some
yes,
men who just
yes,
like, look,
maturity.
It's not what I want. And I understand that. You know,
right.
And you have to respect that. But most men are taught to go after everything and anything. You just got a skirt, chase after it. And
right.
Because that's constantly being reinforced, you know, every time we turn on the TV, you know, they advertise to men, think about sex, 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 sex. So when you have an opportunity to turn down sex, what society really says, don't do it. You, hey, this is sex. Nobody has to know about it. And, you know, the little devil standing on your shoulders like, shit, I won't tell if you don't. And so most
exactly.
Men take advantage of that.
And like you said, our society pass the man on the back for fucking around with a bunch of women anyway. So, you know, that
mm-hmm.
right there is another thing as well. But let me see. We got 773 area code. Is this Mr. GPA?
Ladies and gentlemen, let me talk about it. Let me talk about it. Wait a minute. Let me talk about it. Hold on a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the comeback. We got my man Red Snapper, baby, Worst Sexy Radio. We got the controversial, irascible Stevie Hit. We got the episode. I think she gets more gorgeous every time I see her. You know what I'm talking about? We got the Queen of Seduction, Cotton, South Focus Poet. Ladies and gentlemen, let me calm myself down. I'm so excited to be back as a guest on this wonderful show. I had to sit so long. My Monday nights was messed up. Now my Tuesday nights are brighter. Oh, my God. Let me introduce myself real quick. I am currently the Reverb Nation World Champion of Spoken Word, even though I'm not a spoken word artist, I'm a poet, damn it. I am a finalist for the Reader's Favorite Award for two categories, nonfiction autobiography, poetry romance, for Revenge of the Orgasm. I won't talk about the Time the Children's Book Author of the Year for the best-selling How My Name is Bobo. I am just so freaking awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is GPA. I'm back on Word Sexy Radio, baby. What's happening? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
We got his ass back. He's so happy. Look at him.
Man.
I tell you.
I've been waiting. I stalked
well,
Red,
you know,
BB. I stalked Red to bring Word Sexy. Him. Every time he put up a post, I'm like, y'all think I should come back? I said, come back, man. What do you need? Tell me what you need. I come back.
Well, I
what
tell you, I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that you are, because you have been a great supporter of the show ever since you know, since it's been around. And, you know, my thing is it was gone for a little while, almost a year, if not a year. But, you know, a lot of people really were coming to me talking about they wanted to, they missed the show. And it was different from other shows because the way we talk and how we bring it, and we don't hold back pressure.
Man,
so,
man,
you know,
it's
what it is.
All these lollipop shows, with these lollipop hosts up there placating everybody and their favorites. They bring their favorites on, and they treat their favorites like they're the best thing since wheat bread, and they ain't nothing. And they just tell them all types of things. And they're not keeping it real. You know what I mean? Same people, same guests, recycled over and over again. Oh, lollipop, I ain't got no credibility. I ain't wrote a book. How you going to tell me about being an author and you ain't wrote a book? You can't tell me
there
about
you
that.
There
you
go.
You can't tell me
y'all
about
heard
that.
Now, who said that? GPA said that. I didn't say it. That was GPA.
Yeah, I said it. all these lollipop shows.
I concur with his ass, goddammit, I do. Yes.
It's a lot of lollipop shows. They call themselves interviewing people, and they don't do that. They don't do that. They ask you two or three questions, once you do about 15 poems, and don't want to know nothing about you. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I don't interview you. I just let y'all talk shit.
They mad at me for not talking. What's wrong? What's wrong, man? What's going on? DV, what's up, baby?
Man, hey, I think that was one of your more humble intros. Like,
listen,
I was like,
let me tell you something. I'm so excited. I just came from performing.
I am disappointed in you, sir.
Listen. Let me be real honest. Let me be real honest with this. I'm coming among my people. So they know me, and I don't have to blow y'all away. Y'all know what I am. Y'all know my skill set.
Oh,
I don't have to.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I come to kick it with y'all. I love Word Sexy Radio. You know what I'm talking about? I got mad love for y'all. So I was told, man, Red, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to keep it 100 with you, dude. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. I told him, Cotton can tell you, I tell you no lie. Dude, I said, man, Red is fucking up. I said this, Red is fucking up. He got to bring back the show. But I'm going to go hear people get chewed out for making up their own genres or coming over here talking about angry women and they don't have no degrees or nothing to talk about it. Where am I going to go hear that at? That was
You're right.
Ain't it?
And I need to bring them motherfuckers back on the show. I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody with cussing. That's what I do. I cuss. Anyway, fuck y'all. Anyway, this is the deal. We need to bring them dudes back and see where they at, because I'm sure they're writing a part two to that shit. Why men need to get with white women. I forgot what it was called. But anyway,
why black
we definitely
want to
bring them back. Yeah. And then the book covers had black man, white woman all over it. You know, and then the people that they used to get information was a guy, was a pimp who wrote the book The Art of Macking, How to Mack Women and How to Get Them. That's where they were getting their information from, to write the book, their book.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it was just crazy. Y'all ran their ass off the show. Cotton and DV had their ass fucked up. And
it was just a real life.
The other lady, the girl that used to be on the show. What was the girl that from Atlanta that used to be on our show?
Carmen.
Yeah, Carmen. She really got on them because she was really upset with them.
Yes, she was.
And they're the reason. Yes, she's the reason why they came on the show. Actually, I think because it was her who saw that, and they were, you know, saying that the reason why black men don't want to be with black women is because. Y'all got attitudes, and nobody want to be around y'all shit, and y'all always pissed off, and you know they. So the white women don't do that; they just kiss your ass and suck your dick on key and all that. So I don't know. Anyway.
Really? No.
Anyway, so if that's okay, there go DV. I knew it was coming. Anyway,
I don't remember that far, but it certainly.
Come on, that show was a couple of years ago, DV. It's in the archives. We can look it up and listen to it.
You're right.
Matter of fact. Everybody that's listening to Word Sexy, all the shows that I've done on Word Sexy, any of them, the Poonanny Poets, all that, is in the archives. If you go in Word Sexy Radio on Blog Talk Radio, you can go back and get any of the old shows and listen to them. And we've had some fun. We had a ball on a lot of them damn shows. You know?
There we are.
So we got GPA on the show. He's an award-winning author and about to win some
award. Man.
So what you got for us tonight? What you got for us? I know you got a poem or something you want to give us.
Look, you know what, man? I was talking to the Brain Trust of Team GPA. That'd be Queen of Seduction, Cotton. And she told me a couple of poems I was supposed to do. So I'm going to do what I'm told.
I'm going to do what I'm told for one.
And, you know, I'm going to do that.
Okay. Well, you got an echo going right now, so. And I do, too. So. Anyway, somebody's either phone is close to the mic or something, or there's an echo. They might be listening to it online at the same time. You can't have the phone and it online at the same time because it'll echo. But anyway, I think it's gone now. So whatever you like to do, you got 30 minutes. We're going to give you some time to put it out there.
There we go, man. I pulled over. I just got through performance, doing some storytelling. I tore it down, but I'm about to tear it down now with y'all. I pulled over on the side of the road, man. You know, and I'm finna tear it down, man, because I can't drive and give y'all my 100% at the same time. So let me just do this. First of all, as a lot of people know, I've been nominated for Poet of the Year for the National Poetry Awards. I like your vote, but as opposed to me saying, give me your vote, I'm going to show you why I should have your vote. So here we go. She sent the children upstairs. She did so because there was food for them in the refrigerator, and plus they were old enough to fend for themselves. She said she was only going to have one drink. But one drink became two drinks. Two drinks became four drinks, and she was tipsy. Not drunk, but tipsy the way pretty women get tipsy. Me, I've been drunk for at least 90 minutes, the combination of Jameson's and Heineken. But looking at her, she was still beautiful. She was still gorgeous, drunk or sober. She checked her phone for the umpteenth time and said she had to go. And I told her, just give me 15 minutes. And she laughed at me, the way pretty women laugh when they're tipsy. And she said, what would you do with 15 minutes? And I told her, give me 1 minute to kiss your lips lightly. Give me 1 minute to kiss your lips fully. Let me back up and tell you 1 minute to say hello and ask you how you're doing. Give me 2 minutes to wrap my arms around you in an embrace and just live there. Give me another 2 minutes to allow my eyes to travel your physical landscape, my fingers to touch your face and your hair, and my nostrils to inhale your wonderful scent. Then give me 1 minute to tell you how much I miss you and how gorgeous you look. Then give me 30 seconds to allow my comprehension to catch up. Then give me another 30 seconds to stare into your soul and you into mine. Then give me 1 minute to kiss you and take your breath away. Then give me another minute to kiss you and give you that breath back. Then give me another 2 minutes to embrace you again, but this time pull you so close so no space exists between our bodies and allow our tongues to dance and step in the name of love. Then give me 1 minute to hold your hand and stare at God's sky and do absolutely nothing. Then grant me one final minute, unfortunately, to tell you how much I enjoy holding you and kissing you and cannot wait to do so again. So just give me 15 minutes. That's all I ask. Then, please, go upstairs and check on the kids. If we happen to be outside your place of employment, yes, please, go back to work. And if it's too hot, especially in Chicago, too cold outside, please, go back inside. And if he calls you again, if he sends you another text message, and if you must, if you truly must, then you can go back to him. Just give me 15 minutes. That's all I ask. My poem.
Right here on Word Sexy Radio. We're back. Word Sexy Radio. And if you want to call Word in,
sexy.
The number is 917-889-8206. We got it going on. Now I see the snaps going on in the chat room. They're snapping. Everybody's snapping. Yes, they love it.
I like that. I like the snapping.
I'm
back on Word Sexy Radio. Let me tell you something, man. Let me tell y'all something about me and Red, so anybody know. Let me tell you what he did for me a long time ago. I ain't never spoke on this, but I'm going to speak on it right now. 2010, I had a book out, my very first book called The Confessional Heart of a Man. It wasn't anything sensual about it. It wasn't anything, nothing like that. It was just book of poems. He had me on the show. He made clear while he was on the show what I was on. He had me on as a guest because I was an up-and-coming author, but that this is typically an erotic show, but he had me on and let me do my thing. Let me do my poems and all that. It had nothing to do with sexual stuff. Where he let me do my poems. Let me get my shine on. He didn't have to do that. He could have nixed that and say, man, you know, this is this type of show. He didn't do none of that. He had me on. We've been together with each other. Every time I bring a book out, he had me on ever since. Even when I don't have to have a book out, he had me on, showed me love. So that's why I show love back to Word Sexy Radio. Whenever it's up for an award, I vote for it plenty of times because I'm from Chicago, so we cheated politics like that. So that's all I know. So I just want to say, man, thank you for the love and support you've shown me. All I know how to do is show it back. That's all I know.
And I appreciate it. And like I said, I was going through – one day I'm a do a show where I explain what I was actually going through and why the show kind of commenced for a little bit and took a hiatus and came back. But Yeah, it was some things that was going on, and I think DV had some other things he was working on, he was doing, and Cotton was doing her touring. And I just felt like a lot of the people at the end were getting upset with what were sexy. I don't think the people were getting upset. I think some of the authors and poets that didn't want to come on were scared to come on because they had got the word that if they didn't come correct, they were going to get slaughtered. And that's not what Word Sexy does. Now, we do, but, I mean, that's not what we're about. We're not here to destroy people or to belittle them or tell them that they ain't shit or whatever. But if you come on here and you half-stepping, we're going to let you know that you're half-stepping. Is that correct? That's what we do.
That's going to be beneficial, constructive criticism. And I think that that's one of the things a lot of these shows don't do. You know, you have these, for us poets, we go on these poet shows, and every time a poet does a poem, he or she is really good. No, she's not. Tell them the truth so they can get better, so they can be a better, come on, really?
Right. Just like the authors that we have on here, same thing. You know, all they books ain't five-star books. But, that's what everybody want to tell them,
But part of being better is knowing better, and that's the one thing I love about this show. I mean, we're not here to berate you and tell you you ain't shit and that, your book, it even make better toilet paper. But the bottom line is, because we love what we do, we want you to love what you do. And therefore, if you're not coming to the show, and if you come to the show is like, I wrote this book and it's good. Nah, you got to tell me something about this book. You got to tell me why I got to buy this book. And you got to make your pitch different than the person last week. So that means you may have to do some research. I know, God forbid, people don't like doing research. But, I mean, look, if you really love your craft, that's little. That's small. If you don't love your craft, then we're going to be the first people to tell you. You ain't shit.
And I want people to understand that I don't have anything, and I have to say this all the time because I think people think I do. I don't have anything wrong or any problems with people who write urban fiction. I think it's a good genre that's out there. But I think that some of these authors are putting this shit out so fast, they can't be editing the books. They got to be looking at it as a hustle instead of a love of writing, because you can put this stuff out and it can have the slang and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is taking your time and making the book worthwhile instead of trying to sell it. You put all this work into a book, you put it out there and you sell it for 99 cents. I don't know. I just think that you spent 3 or 4 months or maybe a year to write this and put it together. I hope so that it can be something that you want somebody to pay a little more. It's not about the money. It should be that you the craft that you have, that you want them to respect you. That's all I'm saying. So when I talk about urban fiction, because a lot of people do. They put shit out there and they got 6 books out at once. How the fuck are you going to have 6 books out at once? I mean, that can happen, but I mean, damn. They all dropping at the same time and shit.
Let me keep it 100. You ain't James Patterson Grisham or nothing. You ain't doing that because he got people writing with him. Come on, man. They be throwing these books out here. Listen. I'm just gonna say this, and I'm gonna go on to something else. There's a process for me with a book, and my book is poetry, so it's not as in depth as when y'all write y'all books, whether it be fiction or whatever the case may be, whatever y'all write, it's more in depth than mine. I'm not gonna lie and say it is. But I have an old school methodology of putting out a book. I treat my books like albums. So you have some promo, you have some build up. I give you a poem here and there. I perform a poem here and there. Somebody be like, oh, where's that poem from? But man, my book comes out and such. Oh, I look up. Now they got something to look forward to. These people mass producing these books. You're like, oh man, it just dropped today. Really? I didn't even know it was coming out. I didn't know what was happening. You brought Pussy Trap 1 out last week. Pussy Trap 3.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there you go.
Pussy Trap
and that's 19. A real book, even though I'm surprised they used that real name. But, yeah, that's a real book.
Are you serious?
But, yeah.
I was being funny.
That book, there's really a book out called Pussy Trap. There's a series. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's out there. But, anyway.
Hey.
fuck it, man. This is Word Sexy Radio. But anyway, check it out. You're right, what you're saying, when you put these books out. Now, I know I put out a series of books before, but it took me a couple of years to put the whole series out. Word, you know, and I just put I got one more book to go to that series, and it'll be 5 years with that one series. Now, I put some other books, individual books out in between them, because you can do that, but all these sequels and everybody, oh, it's dropping, blah, 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 and I can't, you know, I don't know. And I'm not saying just urban fiction. I'm talking about anything. When you're writing, you want to make sure that you're putting something out that you're proud of, that you want people to you know, give you an honest opinion about it. Because nobody wants to get a bad review, but you got to get them. You got to get them because you can't get better if you don't. So,
you know what
Yeah, go ahead.
There's this mad dash, you know, especially when it comes to literature, you know, to make as much money as you can as long as it's on top. Because let's be honest, if what was selling was cookbooks, like urban fiction, then you have people coming out of prison selling cookbooks. Like, shit, I cooked in prison. I got recipes, you know, and that's
right.
What they be putting together, cookbooks.
Exactly.
So I think because there's this mad dash to get it while it's hot, that people bypass all logic and they're just like, well, I got a hood story I got to write. You know, when the truth of the matter is, you got a story. That doesn't necessarily mean you should be the one to tell it, but it's not the
writing. Or that it need to be told.
Not even the genre. Right. It's not even the genre. It's the writing.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You
it's
know,
writing.
So,
yep.
And I wouldn't care if they was writing Christian fiction. If there was Christian fiction and it was terrible, then I would say the same thing. Like, look, we can do better with Christian fiction. Or if it was, you know,
erotica.
Children's books, right? Erotica, you know, because you know, everyone's like, oh, I gotta have sex in my book, so it's a little erotic, you know. There's a little erotica, it's a little, you know, street fiction, it's a little Christian fiction. Look, pick a genre, man.
Oh my God.
You know,
yeah, exactly. I agree with you on that, man. You're right. They all say that when you interview them. Oh yeah, I got a little of this, I got a little of that. You know, they're trying to grab everybody some kind of way.
Right. You know, so I think if people took serious, you know, if they sat back and said, look, you know, I want to do this the best I can, nobody can fight you on that. Nobody. Nobody nowhere.
Right.
You put out the best product
right.
possible, and can't nobody touch you on that. You want to put out shit, and we all going to call you on it.
Well, that's just like Sister Soldier's book, The Coldest Winter Ever. I'm sure a lot of people have read that. Lots of people have read that book. She was hungry when she wrote that book, and that motherfucker, you can tell she was hungry when she wrote it because it's off the chain. But then it's just like music, like we were saying earlier. You get so much out there, then all of a sudden, you know, you start writing shit because you put it out there. I'll use Zane because she's in the genre I'm writing in. She had a lot of good books in the beginning because she was trying to come together, get out there. Now she's big. You know, she's doing movies now with her books, which is good, but the thing is some of the books that's been coming out now has been not as good, and some of the authors she's been picking to do stuff ain't been that good either. So, you know, it just depends, you know, and I'm not just picking
right.
on people. I'm just saying, you know, some of my work, you know, I know I need to redo some of my stuff. I took a book that I wrote and put it out again, differently. I changed the names and changed some things with it, but there was some history behind that book, the reason why I did that, that's out now. But it was a book that I had done before. It had been published out there before, but I changed it up because there were some things that went down with it. But you can always do that as well. So, you know, it just depends. GPA, we got 16 minutes, man. I know we took a lot of your time.
No, man, we good. We in the flow. So let me say something on the internet. I'm going to do another poem, man. Listen.
Okay, go ahead.
Anybody knows me, I'm still hungry. Anybody knows me, anybody sees me, if you pay any attention to my grind and what I'm doing, I don't say I'm just grinding. I'm all on Facebook all freaking day. I've been across the United States. I've sold books in Japan, the U.K. I'm number one in the U.K. My book is number one in the U.K. right now. I'm hungry. I want it. I want to be the best real bad. So I'm going to keep giving you, Lord willing. I was sick for a while. Don't nobody know that. I was sick for like a few months. God knows. And I was still going to perform. They had to push me up, right? They said, okay, you can only do so much. They push me up. Get me to the show. I go to the show. I kill. Then they have to get me back in the car, drive me home. I lay back down. That's no lie. I'm hungry. I'm the best. I believe I'm the best. So I'm hungry. So I'm not going to fall off. I'm not going to fall off, y'all. I'm going to keep giving you. I got more in me. And I'm healthy like a month. Now, let me show you what I got.
Well, I got
it.
I have a couple of genres that I'm going to definitely dive into. I'm going to do a romance without sex. Well, it's going to be sex, but it ain't going to be as nasty as I normally do. But what I really want to do is I have a murder mystery that I a series that I want to do, and I'm going to be bringing that out as well. I got one more nasty ass book I'm going to put out next year, well, at the end of this year, called The Heat Addiction
Within. I like
the way
you
say
that.
And once that comes out, yeah. I'm going to start working on it. I got this serial killer. Now, it's going to be some sex in it because the serial killer is fucked up. But, you know, it's going to be about the killing. It ain't going to be about just the sex. Because I want to see if I can grab that audience. That's what writing is about. You want to see if you can do more than what you used to. You want to step out and do things in other areas that you've never done before. I never killed nobody before, but I want to go ahead and write about that because I want to see if I can make it happen on paper. You see what I'm saying? You know, you don't want to always stay focus on just one part of a genre of writing. And we talk about this a lot, too. So, you know, I just want to just do some different things, and I'm going to.
Right.
You know, this book that I want to do, this serial killer book, is called Charlie Necro. Wait till that comes out. Y'all going to be tripping on that one. But anyway, it's not about me. It's about GPA. We got 14 minutes. You want to give us another poem, GPA? You can do it right now.
This is a special request from the greatest tag team partner, a man who, like myself, is fortunate to have. We put our backs against our backs and tell the world, bring your ass home, we got you. So she asked for this poem, The Queen of Seduction, and this is my poem. This is it. So here we go. There is a difference between the expressions hmm and mmm. See, you can obviously look at the spelling to tell. See, hmm is spelled H and three M's, and it usually begs a question. Like if your woman picks up your phone and she says, who is this? And you say, I don't know who that is. And she says, hmm. Or you say the Cubs are going to win the World Series, and somebody outside of Chicago will be like, hmm. But mmm is a good feeling. See, mmm is spelled with a capital M and three small M's, and it is the affirmation of something good or pleasant. See, at the end of the day, when you see your person, and that person gives you a hug or a kiss, and is sitting next to you, it feels like mmm. Or because I live in a cold city called Chicago, when you come in from the outside, 0-degree weather, and you get a hot cup of chocolate or a warm bowl of soup, and it feels like mmm. See, that's how it felt when she came and picked me up on a Monday afternoon. She drove up in a red Ford Explorer, and she opened up the door, and as soon as I got in, she put her lips up against mine and rubbed my bald head, and it felt like, hmm. Don't know how she drove with just her left hand, because her right hand was firmly planted on my private area, rubbing obelisk through my Levi's. And I leaned my head back and closed my eyes, and it felt like, hmm. She took me to a place I had never been before, and she let me explore it and her. I had never met a woman so voluptuous in her mind, in her affection, and the curves upon her body. And as I drove each one of them with the adept alacrity of a foreign sports car, felt like, hmm. And she took me. Understand what I'm saying to you. She took me, and she entered me. Normally, obelisk enters Bermuda Triangle, her sacred place, her fountain, her garden, her Bermuda Triangle. Normally that is the case, but she entered me, and she took me, and she looked down on me, not demeaning, not making me feel minuscule, but it felt like, hmm. Every stroke, every thrust of her pelvis against mine, her breast against my lips, my head, my chest, and it felt like, hmm. Fingernails became embedded inside my skin, scratching, clawing, and I enjoyed the pain because every time she did that, it felt like, hmm. And she looked me dead in my eyes, brown eyes upon brown eyes, and she used a possessive pronoun, and she said hers. I was her man, her poet, her chocolate drop, her champion, hers, and even if I wanted to put up resistance, I would not have. I would have went unreluctantly. Because all of that, every syllable that crossed her beautiful lips against my ears felt like, hmm. And when she was done having her way with me, excuse me, when she was done having her ways with me, because she did so several times, she took me and warmed up the jacuzzi and she led me in. Normally, anybody that knows me knows that I'm a gentleman. I practice chivalry consistently. But she took me right hand on the small of my back, left hand, took my left hand, led me into the jacuzzi to make sure I got in safely. And I never felt like that, but then it felt like, And she cleansed me. She washed my entire body, saturated me with water, sudded me up with soap, then cleansed me off with water again, took me, made me feel like it was maternal, even though this wasn't an Oedipus complex or anything perverse like that. She just washed me and cleansed me because she wanted me to be clean, and it felt like, And then she led me out to the jacuzzi the same way she led me in. She dried me off. She lotioned me up because I'm dark-skinned and I get ashy quickly. She lotioned me up fully. And we sat and we talked about things that people who are intimate, not having sex, but people who are intimate do. We talked about our aspirations, our feelings, things that were right in our life, things that were wrong. And the intimacy that we shared felt like, And she prepared to leave me. She prepared to leave me and go back to her life and let me go back to mine. And she kissed me. And I'm telling you this story right now. The cinematic view across my mental DVR plays across. And I'm watching it enthralled. And even though I'm not in the moment then, I'm in this moment now. I must confess, it feels like, my poem.
Now that was off the chain. You know something? I've heard you do many a poems, many.
Thank you.
But I really like that one.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I really
it.
Do like that one. That one is off the chain. I like that one. So,
thank
you know, and like I said, I can tell that you've grown since the last time you've been on the show, and I can tell that you've been doing some going around and touring and doing all kinds of stuff to perfect yourself in your writing as well.
Thank you, sir.
And you can tell that when people are doing writing and when they're doing stuff. You can tell when they're trying to do some things and do better. Now, we've had some people on here, and they didn't have nothing.
Right.
But I ain't going to get into them. I ain't going to mess up the rest of the show with that. But that was awesome. That was awesome. And
thank
I thank you, for,
thanks,
for bringing that to us. Okay, so.
Thank you for having me.
If it was shit, and you know if it was shit, I'd have been like, GPA, you a good poet and shit.
I
but
know.
That shit was fucked up.
I know.
but no, it was good, really it was. Now, I'm going to get, there's two other poets on here. I'm going to get them to express. I got, Romeo is still here. I want him to express his opinion of what he thought, and then Cotton will say what she has to say. So, Mr. Romeo, if you don't mind, are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Okay. The thing that stood out the most, I mean, he just very poignant about it when he speaks, how he delivers his message. But what stood out the most was just the line, "She lotioned me because I get ashy."
Right.
That just stuck out, like, you know, that's just the truth. I mean, that's just real honest, you know. Some people write in metaphors, and some people just write honest truth, and it's good when you can do both.
Thank you. That Romeo, that's Romeo Donati, right? I know the voice. I just want to be sure.
Yes, Romeo Donati, right?
For Romeo Donati to come on here and say something like that about GPA, I definitely hold that because that young man is phenomenal. When he goes, he's legendary for soaking, causing panties to be soaking wet. He is legendary for doing that.
Well, I always fuck with his voice and shit when he comes on. I always be talking about his fucking voice. Because he be having women toe up and shit just talking. And all of a sudden they're gone and shit.
he's serious business. He's serious business. We were fortunate. I was fortunate enough to perform with him on the show last year called Horseman or something. I came up with him. It was myself, him,
four
two
horsemen.
Other brothers. No, it was actually five of us.
Five horsemen?
But,
okay.
Yeah, okay, Red, calm down, man. See, your life just up to showing now. Stop it. Well, no, what's up, Romeo? I see you, man. I see you doing your work. You just came back off tour from New York, doing your thing, man. Keep on that. Keep on that, brother. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Absolutely. I did have a question, though.
Sure.
Okay.
You about to say something, Red?
Yeah, go ahead. You good? Go ahead.
Okay, my question, well, I'm actually currently working on my first book.
Okay.
And what would be your top three pointers about putting a book together, namely your first book?
You name
the whole process with that. I said namely your first book. Your first book. Not the name of it, but precisely your first book. What would be your top three pointers about putting out your first book?
Let me just jump right in. Number one, it's a different dynamic for you because you're a known entity. So what I would tell somebody who's brand new and what I'm going to tell you is totally different. First of all, I understand that. So you have to, number one, start letting people know you got a book coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Start right now. When you're going to bring the book out. This is July. Getting ready. We got a couple more weeks in July. So you want to give it like 90, 120 days, maybe 180 days before you bring that book out. But you want to tease people. You already know.
Okay.
I don't mean to be redundant. People know you. They respect you. Your work is respected. So tease them. Start saying, hey, I got my book out. Drop a poem here maybe. Drop a poem on the show you go on. This is for my upcoming book. You know, start dropping the title here and there. Hashtag on Twitter or whatever. Start doing that. Get the promo. That'll get people's minds working. Like, oh, shit. Romeo's coming out with a book, girl. You know he's coming out with a book. I got to get that. Blah, 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 blah. So you got that. So next thing, start your tour. Not your physical tour, because summer is almost over, so we're going into winter. And where will people be? They'll be inside. So they're more inclined to be online during the wintertime, fall, winter. So start your tour. Set you up some dates with these people who actually come up. Say, let Red know, hey, man, around this time, I'm coming out with my book. I want to come on and do some. He let you on because you already got the respect. He let you on. There's a few other shows.
Right.
Now, this is very important what I'm about to tell you. Don't just go on any show. Don't just go on. Forget that. Even though they want you on, they know you, they love you. No. Every show isn't conducive to what you're doing as far as an author because there's a difference being a spoken word artist and being an author. It's a world of difference. And the audience is different. So you want to go where the audience is more literal. You know what I mean?
Okay,
so
we got 2 minutes.
Show.
We got 2 minutes.
Okay. Last thing, man, just get out here and just get out a good product. Pick your best poems,
right,
man, and put it in there. Don't give a lot of poems. You know, maybe
okay, we got a question. We definitely got a question in the chat room about Twitter accounts. Someone wants to know if all the poets have a Twitter account, and I guess they want to get that. If you guys want to put that information out.
Cotton, put mine in the chat room. Sure do. Put mine in the chat room, Cotton.
Mine is Mr. Romeo DiNazzi. All one word.
Okay.
Mine is Cotton Soft-Spoken Poet. Mine is Cotton Soft-Spoken.
Cotton soft spoken. Okay, I'm gonna try to get this in. Is it all one word?
In words.
Oh yeah, you gonna put it in. Okay, you gonna do that. Okay, Miss Jackson. If you're in the chat room. Okay, she's getting them. Okay, all right, no problem. We got 1 minute left, and I want to give people a chance to tell them real quick how they can get you GPA if they need to get you and to do anything. They want you to come into the town. I know you're coming to Kansas City and all that. We know that.
Oh, hell yeah. We're going to tear it down. All caps, G period, P period, A period, parentheses, Greatest Poet Alive on Facebook. I'm not hard to find. Punch in Greatest Poet Alive or GPA anywhere. You can find me. Look me up, man. Let's talk. Let's kick it. I appreciate you. Thank you, Red. Love Word Sexy Radio. Love everybody tuning in. Both of me.
Yeah,
part of the year.
Problem, brother. We appreciate you. We appreciate everybody coming on and chatting with us tonight. And we definitely want you to come back because next week we're going to have Samantha Joyner is going to be here and Terry Rotten. There are two different authors that's going to be here. We'll be talking with them. So we want you to be here same time, same channel, and we'll be doing that thing. So as always, it's always a pleasure.
Good night,
baby.
right, y'all. Good night.
Night.
I'll be a different